Rick Pantaleo, VOA News.
When an award-winning Sudanese filmmaker documented the journey of Sudan's martial arts team, which traveled by road to Kenya for international championship in 2019, he did not know that 4 years later he would be taking a similar path as he did in the film Journey to Kenya, but for completely different reasons. VOA's Nairobi Bureau Chief, Mariama Diallo, recently attended the screening of his movie and those of other Sudanese filmmakers and has this story.
It's a journey the group thought would take 2 to 3 days from Sudan to Kenya via Ethiopia to participate in an international jiu-jitsu competition in Nairobi, but it turned out to be full of surprises. Award-winning Sudanese filmmaker Ibrahim Ahmad, also known as Snoopy, told VOA.
It took us 6 days, you know, days sleeping in the car, days sleeping at a gas station in the car. And I remember that there was a coup in Ethiopia. We had no internet and we couldn't follow the map, so we lost the road.
In this clip, team member Zuhair.
The hardest part for me was just sitting in the car there, like, you know, it was so long.
At the end, through insurmountable challenges at times, they made it to Nairobi 2 hours before the competition started. And they made their country proud. Screening the movie for the first time in Nairobi felt different, Snoopy told us. He recently had to make a similar trip again because of the war in Sudan over the past 5 months.
Right now, I'm living my movie. You know, not living with the characters like in before as a filmmaker. And I went through the same thing, you know. And it was so painful because I traveled for 18 hours from Ethiopia to Kenya borders and from Kenyan borders to here 19 hours.
Rafael Reynas, another filmmaker, also debuted a short documentary about an unusual beauty salon in Khartoum. The salon is also a sanctuary for women across Sudan fleeing domestic violence. In this clip, one victim tells her story.
I got married in 2017. The first 6 months, we were in a good place. After 6 months, my life turned 180 degrees. Then started the verbal abuse, hitting.
With this film, she's trying to help people understand what some women in Sudan go through.
The domestic violence, the harassment outside, even the rape, a lot of stuff going on. So I'm just trying to, you know, tell the story in a creative way that's like I'm not attacking the man. I'm just giving the woman space.
Last but not least, the audience got to enjoy the screening of another Sudanese filmmaker, Yasser Fayez. The award-winning 15-minute film is based on the novel The Waste Man. The actual title is considered a bit crude. It rhymes with dog sitter. The thought of the main character's daughter who turned 18 having a boyfriend brings up layers of her father's Sudanese culture he thought he had left behind when he emigrated to the Netherlands 26 years prior.
It's actually a film about immigrant facing problem of with the culture of the place he lived. He thinks that he have no problem, but when these critical events, the problems came out.
While these filmmakers have found a new place to live in Kenya, they also hope to someday be able to document the war at home in Sudan. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
Listening to Nightline Africa, and coming up in the second half of the program, sports. A commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's go to Abuja and join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Douglas, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. We begin with athletics, as Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya secured his fifth Berlin Marathon victory on Sunday. In his first race since finishing sixth at April's Boston Marathon, 38-year-old double Olympic champion Kipchoge finished alone at the front in a time of 2 hours, 2 minutes, 42 seconds. Fellow Kenyan Vincent Kipkemboi was 31 seconds behind him in second, with Tadese Takele of Ethiopia a further 11 seconds back in third. Kipchoge was gracious in his victory in Berlin.
I have learned lessons. I have won, but I've not break a world record. So it's going back again. Every race is a learning lesson. And put all the experience in next year in Olympics in Paris and try to be in the podium or to win for the third time ever and make history.
In the women's category, it was Ethiopia's Tigzit Ashifa who smashed the women's marathon world record as she won the Berlin Marathon. Ashifa, who also won last year's race, crossed the line in a time of 2 hours, 11 minutes and 53 seconds. The 29-year-old took more than 2 minutes off the previous record of 2 hours, 14 minutes, 04 seconds set by Kenya's Bridget Kosgei in Chicago in 2019. And now to rugby. The Rugby World Cup taking place in France featured one of the most anticipated matches on Saturday, when South African national team, the Springboks, suffered a disappointing 13-8 defeat against the top-ranked team in the world, Ireland, in their Rugby World Cup Pool B clash at the Stade de France in Paris. With the Springboks having won their opening matches against Scotland and Romania, the match in Paris was not a do-or-die. However, it does mean they have to register a win against Tonga next week Sunday to advance to the quarterfinals. Springbok coach Jack Nianamba and captain Celia Kulisi ruled their missed opportunities in the match, but said they will keep their heads high and turn their focus to next week's encounter against Tonga.
They were, hats off to Ireland, they were better than us on the day. And yes, I think we missed a couple of points off the tee. But I won't say that that's the reason solely for not getting across the line. I think we, in the first half alone, we lost two balls.
Yeah, I thought they were more accurate than us today, and they were a bit faster in the breakdown. But as Jack said, we knew it was coming. Obviously, we players, we take full responsibility of that.
Nigeria has been crowned champion of the 2023 ITTF Africa Para Championships, which ended on Saturday in Giza, Egypt. The three-day tournament had host Egypt, Algeria, Nigeria, Mauritius, Cameroon, South Africa, Kenya, and Ivory Coast competing in the singles, doubles, and mixed doubles events. Nigeria won 12 gold medals to dethrone Egypt as the new para table tennis champion in Africa, dominating in the singles event to pick up most of the tickets to the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. And that's it for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sport. Back to you, Douglas.
Thanks, Samson. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict and in time of peace. Here is one's man point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. This week, general debate in the General Assembly during the 78th session was open, and a great number of African states participated in the first week. The impression one gets is that the African delegations are fired up. They have been energized by recent developments, such as the successful peace summit held in South Africa and the decision by the Group of 20 held in Delhi at their summit to include the African Union as the 21st member. This is why the African speakers, as their colleagues in the Global South, were determined not to allow this session be dominated by the issue of Ukraine as they believed it was during the 77th session. Many of the African speakers did make reference to the Ukraine war and their impact on the economy of the African states. but they did not dwell on it. Recognizing their interest to solve the problem, President Ramaphosa, who spoke during the early session of this week's debate, made it clear that the African states want negotiations to resolve the war. And he gave the example of the group of 7 African leaders that intervened to promote negotiations, that what they're doing in their results. He noted that in his meeting with President Zelensky, he was told that the 2 proposals already made by the African leaders, the return of children and the issue of prisoner exchange, are beginning to work. The African states also wanted to emphasize 2 major issues for the Global South, and which is important to them. 1, multilateralism. Secondly, the issue of the economy. Now, with regards to the multilateralism, African views were aligned with that of Secretary General Guterres, who made an opening address. In that address, the Secretary General noted correctly that there was a brief period after the Cold War that we have unipolarity, but that, he said, is gone. We now reemergence of multilateralism centered in the Charter of the United Nations. The Secretary General, however, mentioned that multilateral institutions today are not working and are not solving problems. Yes, Africans agree with that, but their view is that the present structure of multilateral institutions do not support progress. For them, there is the lack of democracy within these institutions, and there are imbalances. And most of the time, African states, as well as many in the Global South, do not have much of a voice in how these institutions are run. What has been left out is a crucial aspect, because everyone mentioned reform of the Security Council. But the Security Council reform discussion, which began in 1996, continues with mere discussion and talk. President Ramaphosa, when he spoke to the Assembly, said Africans are encouraged by the mounting support for Africans' views about the expansion of the Security Council. But he pointedly said that they want not just talk, but textual proposals instead of just promises by some permanent members to support the Africans. So we will wait and see what will follow. I thank you.
That was one man's point of view, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Girl, I wanna take care of the world. Yeah. It's Sunday on Northern Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect with music from the continent. I wonder where you're coming from, my superwoman. I wonder which part of this world that you came from. You got a nice looking body, original woman. I wanna call you my lady, my classy. Tell me, what does it really take? You know you lady, how long does it will take to get close to you, my African baby, my beautiful baby, my African woman, you're my African baby, you're my African lady, I'm so in love with you. Couldn't
Pondi pondi kweli na umundi. Mini koje na kuto. Thank you.
attention. Cause you got my affection. Baby, baby, it's good to carry you. Taking us step by step on the beat. Put your night hand in the street.
Bingo, watch me wait at the shoe. Girl, it's tight to na you hola. Nobody no go take her. This a be make it enough. Nothing no go cola. But you will be for me much. You know me what I ought. You don't engage me sticks. You don't make a fool your boss. Anytime I say I know they do tell me, but such you must. Just like I say na joke, cause I can be naughty a lot. Baby, stop. Now you been there. This a be all me limping. Talk to Tina, me yes. Make me step in crispy, babe. Think you is scanning your me. Make me fat my medal.
And that was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa. Here at the English service of the Voice of America. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoyed the program tonight. And as you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, we thank you for joining us. And I'm your host, Douglas Mpuga in Washington, wishing you a very good evening.